Part 3. Intruder Alert. Chapter 10. Entering the Premises. Why is it so easy for an outsider to assume the identity of a company employee and carry off an impersonation so convincingly that even people who are highly security conscious are taken in? Why is it so easy to dupe individuals who may be fully aware of security procedures, suspicious of people they don't personally know, and protective of their company's interests? Ponder these questions as you listen to the stories in this chapter. The Embarrassed Security Guard. Date, time, Tuesday, October 17th, 2:16 a.m. Place, Skywatcher Aviation Incorporated, manufacturing plant on the outskirts of Tucson, Arizona. The Security Guard's Story. Hearing his leather heels click against the floor in the halls of the nearly deserted plant made Leroy Green feel much better than spending the night hours of his watch in front of the video monitors in the security office. There he wasn't allowed to do anything but stare at the screens, not even read a magazine or his leather-bound Bible. You just had to sit there looking at the displays of still images where nothing ever moved. But walking the halls, he was at least stretching his legs. And when he remembered to throw his arms and shoulders into the walk, it got him a little exercise, too. Although it didn't really count very much as exercise for a man who had played right tackle on the all-city champion high school football team. Still, he thought, a job is a job. He turned the southwest corner and started along the gallery overlooking the half-mile-long production floor. He glanced down and saw two people walking past the line of partly built copters. The pair stopped and seemed to be pointing things out to each other. A strange sight at this time of night. Better check, he thought. Leroy headed for a staircase that would bring him onto the production floor behind the pair, and they didn't sense his approach until he stepped alongside.
"Morning. Can I see your security badges, please?" he said.
Leroy always tried to keep his voice soft at moments like this. He knew that the sheer size of him could seem threatening. "Hi, Leroy," one of them said, reading the name off his badge. "I'm Tom Stilton from the marketing office at Corporate in Phoenix. I'm in town for meetings and wanted to show my friend here how the world's greatest helicopters get built."
"Yes, sir. Your badge, please," Leroy said.
He couldn't help noticing how young they seemed. The marketing guy looked barely out of high school. The other one had hair down to his shoulders and looked about 15. The one with the haircut reached into his pocket for his badge, then started patting all his pockets. Leroy was suddenly beginning to have a bad feeling about this. "Damn," the guy said. "Must have left it in the car. I can get it. Just take me 10 minutes to go out to the parking lot and back." Leroy had his pad out by this time.
"What did you say your name was, sir?" he asked,
and carefully wrote down the response. Then he asked them to go with him to the security office. On the elevator to the third floor, Tom chatted about having been with the company for only 6 months and hoped he wasn't going to get in any trouble for this. In the security monitoring room, the two others on the night shift with Leroy joined him in questioning the pair. Stilton gave his telephone number and said his boss was Judy Underwood and gave her telephone number, and the information all checked out on the computer. Leroy took the other two security people aside, and they talked about what to do. Nobody wanted to get this wrong. All three agreed they better call the guy's boss, even though it would mean waking her in the middle of the night. Leroy called Mrs. Underwood himself, explained who he was, and did she have a Mr. Tom Stilton working for her? She sounded like she was still half asleep.
"Yes," she said.
"Well, we found him down on the production line at 2:30 in the morning with no ID badge."
Mrs. Underwood said,
"Let me talk to him."
Stilton got on the phone and said, "Judy, I'm really sorry about these guys waking you up in the middle of the night. I hope you're not going to hold this against me." He listened and then said,
It was just that I had to be here in the morning anyway for that meeting on the new press release. Anyway, did you get the email about the Thompson deal? We need to meet with Jim on Monday morning so we don't lose this. And I'm still having lunch with you on Tuesday, right?
He listened a bit more and said goodbye and hung up. That caught Leroy by surprise. He had thought he'd get the phone back so the lady could tell him everything was okay. He wondered if maybe he should call her again and ask, but thought better of it. He had already bothered her once in the middle of the night. If he called a second time, maybe she might get annoyed and complain to his boss. Why make waves, he thought.
Okay if I show my friend the rest of the production line? Stilton asked Leroy. You want to come along, keep an eye on us?
Go on, Leroy said. Look around. Just don't forget your badge next time. And let security know if you need to be on the plant floor after hours. It's the rule.
I'll remember that, Leroy, Stilton said, and they left.
Hardly 10 minutes had gone by before the phone rang in the security office. Mrs. Underwood was on the line.
Who was that guy? She wanted to know.
She said she kept trying to ask questions, but he just kept on talking about having lunch with her, and she doesn't know who the hell he is. The security guys called the lobby and the guard at the gate to the parking lot. Both reported the two young men had left some minutes before. Telling the story later, Leroy always finished by saying,
Lordy, did my boss chew me up one side and down the other. I'm lucky I still have a job.
Joe Harper's story. Just to see what he could get away with, 17-year-old Joe Harper had been sneaking into buildings for more than a year, sometimes in the daytime, sometimes at night. The son of a musician and a cocktail waitress, both working the night shift, Joe had too much time by himself. His story of that same incident sheds instructive light on how it all happened.
I have this friend, Kenny, who thinks he wants to be a helicopter pilot. He asked me, could I get him into the Skywatcher factory to see the production line where they make the choppers? He knows I've got into other places before. It's an adrenaline rush to see if you can slip into places you're not supposed to be. But you don't just walk into a factory or office building. Got to think it through. Do a lot of planning, and do a full reconnaissance on the target. Check the company's webpage for names and titles, reporting structure, and telephone numbers. Read press clippings and magazine articles. Meticulous research is my own brand of caution, so I could talk to anybody that challenged me.